WJNO. From the Claude Raymond Motor Cars Studio, you're listening to News Radio 1290 WJNO, an iHeartRadio station.
The thoughts and opinions expressed are those of the sponsors and don't necessarily reflect those of this station or iHeartMedia.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. Join us now to learn ways to begin the path to recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. Learn more at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Welcome to the show. Here we are, Sunday afternoon. The Family Center for Recovery show, your host, Peter Nathan, with me today. Good friend of mine. Back to the show, Micah Robbins. Micah is the Director of Special Projects over at Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition. Micah, thanks for coming back on the show.
Peter, great to be here. Good to see you again.
For those of our listeners that maybe didn't hear the last show, could you maybe kind of bring us up to speed as far as your background, how you got involved with the coalition, Substance Awareness Coalition, and what's going on there with you?
Sure. Of course, Peter. Been with the coalition now, actually, since our last show. I rolled my five-year anniversary with the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition, and I've been involved in prevention work for, this is going to date me now, but almost 25 years, 24 years now, and that's across working with communities and special families with special needs, school groups, adult groups, everything else. But in that time, we have seen so many changes in prevention, and especially now with the current opiate epidemic. This isn't an instant thing. This is certainly something that's been coming. I'm actually from the great state of Maine, and we had a prescription drug issue really looking almost 15 years ago now it really started. And that was because of Maine's demographics, slightly different than Florida. A lot of space, not a lot of people, so that isolation really exacerbated the problem. And the ability just to go from rural town to rural town, and doctor shopping, prescription shopping was a major issue. And those things just sort of spread out. Now we're seeing issues across the country. This is an issue that that spares no one. It spares no demographic. It spares no geographic area. It's very difficult in Florida and certainly across the country as well. I wish I came here with some... Oh, I have a slight good news. I don't want to be all doom and gloom. We're looking at solutions here. But we're actually finally have seen a small tick down in the use of prescription opiates among our younger population. But we're also seeing an uptick in our older population. And sadly, our overdose rate has increased year over year from 20 so far through 2017. We're up almost, gosh, I want to say it's almost a 50% increase or more over last year. I think we're in this county, we're 311 overdoses over 258 same period last year. So this epidemic is certainly with us. It's a big challenge, but we're looking at ways to get ahead of it. It's going to take some work.
Congrats on the five-year anniversary coming up, and also 25 years, if I'm hearing you correctly, as far as in prevention. And that's really a starting point, the numbers being down as far as amongst our younger generation. They're certainly encouraging. I know that one thing is awareness, and that's really what it's about, is getting people out there, being aware, and things that are going on. I know there's a national rally coming up pretty soon, and we've got some things that are going to be going on locally here. For those of you that are listening, we're going to be coming up with and talking about things that you might want to get involved with. So if you got a piece of paper and pencil handy, might want to go find it. And we'll. What's going on nationally? Something in D.C. I hear, and we're doing something locally in conjunction with that?
Yes, the 31st of August, so plenty of time to prepare. Get out your crayons, scribble this down. We have the National Fed Up Rally, which is part of National Overdose Awareness Day, which is on August 31st. And here in Palm Beach County, one of the state areas or state locations for our own local rally. Last year we had two really good events, one here on the waterfront in West Palm Beach and one down in Broward County. This year we're combining efforts, so it really is a Southeast Florida regional event. It is going to be at FAU, Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton. There is going to be a walk, a support walk. And then we're going to have the rally on campus at the theater. And then following that directly is a vigil for those we have lost to overdoses. And it's a powerful event. It's a simultaneous event. There's events going on in Washington, D.C. and at locations around the country. But please get involved. You can get information either with the Southeast Florida Recovery Advocates, so you can look up CEFRA. That's CEFRA. There's a lot of acronyms in this work, Peter, as you know. And also you can find information at our website, pbcsac.org, which is for Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition, pbcsac.org. And you'll be seeing posters and flyers, but the best thing you can do is come, get involved, make your voice heard, make your presence known. As we're all working on this together.
And it's a, I look at it, it's really kind of a peaceful type of rally. It's an evening event from what I remember. It seems as if, 6 o'clock people start to gather. And
yes, if we could actually get there a little earlier, 5:30 or so. But 6 is what it, 6:30 is the start of the walk. And then, you know, the event wraps up around 8:30. But it is a time to be reflective, but it's also just to, again, show your presence that you care, that this is something that's meaningful, that it's had an impact. And this is a disease that affects well over 25 million Americans. Last year alone, we had nearly 60,000 deaths from overdoses, and a large chunk of those from opiates. It's the largest number we've ever had. And it's now the largest killer of Americans under 50 years old. So this is an issue that, at this point, statistically, good luck finding a family it hasn't affected.
That's the thing that I'm finding is that a lot of Narcotics Anonymous, AA, things along those lines, is anonymous, in which, as far as really kind of being back and not really getting out in front of and talking. But the more we talk about it and the more that people are out in the public, the lawmakers start to really kind of see that, yeah, this is something that matters. This is something that we need to do something about. I know that our great country, we've been faced with many challenges. I know that civil rights, I mean, we've got a lot to do, work there to do still. But, you know, AIDS, as far as awareness and what we've been able to accomplish there. So I think it's one of those things that the more people, and this is a national event, there'll be communities throughout the United States that will be out talking, showing, marketing, and doing walks. I know that there's also there's a pastor, I believe, too, that's going to be leading a candlelight vigil, which I saw as far as iPhones. Now you can get an app with a candle burning, which is right. Pretty cool. So.
Virtual Zippo, yes.
Yeah. So, but and who's our? We've got some speakers lined up. Who? Yeah. Do you remember? Recall?
We do. I'll pull up the list, Peter.
Okay.
So you know how these things go. Run on the top of the head, but that's the wonderful thing about our technology here. So yes, our keynote, and right now I want to call it a coalition shout out to our commissioner Melissa McKinley, who's been a driving force politically behind finding solutions to this issue, especially here in this community. But quite frankly, I think a voice of an entire region, and has just been a wonderful leader in this. She is going to be the keynote speaker there at the event. Our state attorney, Dave Ehrenberg, who's been doing an incredible job with his task force in cleaning up some of the unbelievable, terrible practices that have given quality treatment a bad name in South Florida. They're working very hard. Both him and Al Johnson will be in attendance. We're going to have some visitation from Delray PD, Delray, where it's been one of the bigger challenges of this issue. It's great to have Miami-Dade County kind of pulled up into this. It's wonderful this year that Dade County is coming up with combining with Broward and Palm Beach, and also our friends in the Treasure Coast will be coming down. So this is, I mean, the movement is really taking shape here in South Florida. And so those are your key speakers, and our friends from Calvary Chapel are going to be leading the vigil. So we have some great speakers, but again, it's really about being present and hearing those inspiring words. And we'll also be hearing from some of our moms and some of our advocates that have put everything into this issue, that have lost children, and their stories are so impactful, because through all of that, to find the strength to look at solutions and to find ways that others won't have to suffer with this is just really incredible. So we'll be hearing from them as well, and I think that, quite frankly, will be what really touches people the most. So it's, like I said, big event, and just come on out. I think there's 2,500 seats. Let's fill them.
Excellent. If you just joined us, you've tuned in to the Family Center for Recovery show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan, and with me in the studio today is Michael Robbins. We're talking about the Fed Up rally that's going to be here locally. If you're looking to find out more information, you can go to www.fedUpRally.org, and you'll find all the information as far as how to get involved, as far as the dates and things on those lines. Friends, Facebook, emails. Let's show our support. Let's get out there. It's
passenger
it's
nice pigeon, smoke signals, you know, whatever you got. Get it out. Get the word out.
Yeah, so that's exciting. That's something to look forward to. And I know we've got a lot of other things that we're going to be looking at and things along those lines. Your thoughts as we're talking about nationally? I know that a lot of times we kind of get caught up in our own world here in Florida, but there's a lot going on nationally as far as with this crisis and this epidemic. So what have you heard? What are you seeing out there, Micah?
Well, I think a lot of what we're hearing certainly is that the issue is pervasive, and you're getting a lot, especially out of the Rust Belt and the quote-unquote flyover states, with the epidemic just ravaging Ohio, West Virginia, the Michigan Peninsula, the Northeast. But again, this is it knows no geographic bounds. I know that unfortunately deaths are up in all of those areas. And people are looking for solutions. And you're looking at the national stage, Peter. I think that's important, is that, there is no one solution to this issue. It's going to take time. And we could start to look at the political side of things. There has been some movement there. Our governor, thanks to Commissioner McKinley, working with that team, the governor has extended the state of emergency that was declared on May 3rd. Another 60 days, and they're looking at probably more than that as time goes to continue to look for solutions, find resources to help deal with this issue. And those funds come from the federal government. And at the federal level, they're looking at ways to, stem the tide of this, and one of those is a big push towards medically assisted treatment, or MAT. And it's a kind of a catch-all for a lot of things, but it is one piece of a greater solution. And MATs, and people may hear about like Suboxone and things like that, or outpatient detox and medically assisted detox kind of things, but these are all just small pieces of a bigger part of the issue of how do we effectively treat those suffering from substance use disorders. So we'll spend a little more time talking about that, some of the great work that's happening in Florida, despite the some of the media attention that has paint cast a pall, if you will, over this area. Again, South Florida is one of the areas where some of the best treatment modalities have been created and implemented for decades. So this is not a short-term issue. This is a long-term issue, and it comes with long-term solutions.
For those of you who have just joined us, we're going to be going to a short commercial break. This is the Family Center for Recovery show, and I'm your host, Peter Nathan. With me is Micah Robbins, and we will be right back after this short commercial break.
You're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. Find out more about the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook.com/Family Center for Recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. We'll be right back. The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter Brooklyn was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and
And it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, fcfrmd.com. That's fcfrmd.com.
We are back. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon, wherever that may be, a picnic, out on vacation, doing chores around the house. Tuned into the Family Center for Recovery show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan. With me today in the studio is my good friend, Micah Robbins, from over at the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition. You're talking about MAT. MAT stands for, and could you maybe enlighten us as far as MAT and some of the things as far as how that all works?
Well, the first thing, Peter, you got me thinking about the chores I have to do on Sunday now. But the MAT is a medically assisted treatment, and, you know, it's gotten a lot of press, if you will. And it basically means a medication or medication assisted, say a medication assisted treatment. And it's combining a medication, to help deal with some of the consequences of, especially opiate use, but any type of substance use disorder. There are a number of medications that can be combined with, therapeutic modalities, cognitive behavioral therapies, etc. And what those do, it sounds super exciting right now. These talk about acronyms and what have you, but it's a piece of the puzzle. And there is sort of a misnomer out there that there's this magic pill or there's something that can cure this, you know. And that's not the case. Is it a useful tool? For some cases, it can be. Like any medical condition or any chronic disease treatment regimen, it's individualized. What one thing works for one person may not work for another. And I think that that's what's real important for people to understand, that this is a chronic disease. It needs appropriate treatment, it needs appropriate assessment, it needs an appropriate course of treatment. And what the one thing that certainly what Dr. Brandon speaks about, what and a number of leading experts across the country, is that a longitudinal model, a long-term model, time, that is the biggest asset to treating this disease effectively. You know, you can't take a pill for a week and expect to be quote unquote cured. It just doesn't work that way.
What you just said it rings home so true. Would you mind repeating that once more for our listeners as far as longitudinal model and what that means and how that works?
Sure. Well, length is really what we're talking about here. And the idea of getting into an effective program that combines a number of modalities. For some, it may be a medication-assisted treatment. May not. That is effective therapeutic treatment. Again, cognitive behavioral therapies, etc. But over time, so you don't just have a detox and then 28 days of treatment and then have a good day. It is about time, because what is really happening for, and let me preface this, I'm not a physician, a clinician, I don't play one on TV, but I just promote the best information that we promote through awareness at the coalition and elsewhere, is that, you know, the studies have shown that the longer a person can engage in these treatment options, the better the chance of reducing the chances of relapse. And notice I've said reducing the chances. You know, relapse can be a part of this. And more likely than not, we certainly hope, and those that are working so hard in their treatment plan and their recovery, you know, that's what the hard work is to reduce those chances. But we also want to make sure that we're giving tools and they are gathering tools and learning tools that are going to keep them safe and healthy and happy and moving along. And if that does occur, that they're ready and it's a more of a soft landing and resources are there to support that individual versus sort of the hard landing and crash, which we're seeing now. Not to mention that the substances are so incredibly powerful now that if that occurs, in many situations, in 388 cases this month, this year alone, the outcome is it's a death sentence. And, that's what we want to reduce. So it takes time and getting into a program that focuses and emphasizes that you're going to be in this a long time and they're going to be there to support you along the way. And that really is what the Florida model was built on over years and years and years, was a lengthy program combining the best therapeutic modalities that exist. That is, it's time intensive, it's resource intensive, it's financially intensive. And certainly the most important part is that from the individual who's suffering with substance use disorder, it is intensive of their efforts, and putting those things together really has the best result.
That is the continuum of care, which, if I'm hearing you correctly and hearing Dr. Moran correctly, is that you have somebody who comes in for detox, and then they're there as far as their clinician's assessments, and they're part of, and it's not a 6 days and then you're out on your own, or 30 days and off you go, but it's also doing things as far as moving from detox to residential to transitional living, working on things as far as finding a job, as far as extended period of time versus here a week or two and off you go. And continuum of care, having the proper staff and clinicians there to observe, think. The other thing, too, are the sober homes that we're hearing, as far as a lot of times if somebody relapses, where do they go from there versus back into a continuum of care? That's one of the biggest problems I see as far as this whole model, as far as when somebody relapses, failure and out they go, which is not really the way we need to be looking at it. It's something we need to learn from and to help somebody with. Your thoughts?
Well, when it comes to the sober home issue, a properly run sober home, and fortunately we have an advocacy group and now a certification group in Florida with the Florida Association of Recovery Residents, FAR, the sort of just kick you out to the street is not how that's supposed to work. Yes, there are consequences for a peer-led sober living situation, but that has some planfulness to it. And so there needs to be a plan in place for everybody in that facility, so it isn't that hard. You're not just dumped out on the street. And that's what we're seeing the issues in. So that's where it takes. We're going to take a lot of time to get out of this issue, because it's taken a long time to get into this issue. And, what the work they're doing, again, it's very intensive work. It's difficult work. Getting the resources to do that work is challenging. All the sort of things we've been talking about, the Sober Home Task Force, our heroin task force, our local community task forces, certainly what FAR is working on, they've been asked to do monumental things, monumental changes, to get back to what is effective. And unfortunately, the resources have been, hard to come by. We're hoping that certainly with the governor's actions and the political will that we're now seeing behind this, that we could start seeing the public side of things improve, but also on the private side. We have a long-time private treatment industry here in South Florida. We're talking decades in the making. Some people have the indication that this is something that's just exploded overnight, but no. There have been quality programs and leaders in this field for decades, 30, 40 years. And that story has to get out, and that story of long-term care. There are tens of thousands of people in South Florida that are in long-term recovery. So it's been successful for thousands. And not to mention, people have come here and gone home and are still to other parts of the country. So we have to make sure that story's out, so we're promoting the positive, but never giving up on reducing, any unfortunately, any place in this country is not immune to the issues that you hear about in the papers and in the press and what have you. Sadly, it's one of the things that's been exported, if you will, because of the good work that's happening here and shutting down these facilities that are engaging in terrible practices. Some of those folks are just picking up stakes and heading elsewhere. So we have a golden opportunity here in South Florida to be the leaders out of these issues and, again, promoting the very best for what's needed right now.
So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show, and I'm your host, Peter Nathan. And in the studio today is Micah Robbins from the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition. And Micah's very dialed in as far as what's going on out in our communities nationally as well as locally. We're talking about as far as some of the things, positive things. I know that the Sober Home Task Force has been meeting. Dave Ehrenberg and Al Johnson, everybody sits on there. They've accomplished, like we've talked about in Coalition, tremendous amount in a short period of time, and I know there's a lot that they have that they're looking to address. Some of the things, the positives that have just come out, I know we've had some things that have been just instituted. Your thoughts on some of the positives that we've had?
Well, I think the big positive is that we've seen, almost a wholesale reduction in some of these facilities that were engaging in some of these nefarious practices. Is it still going on? Yes, it is. But they're working on it, and that's the important thing. They're working hard, and it's becoming a more collaborative effort. And when I say that, they're doing their job, but getting on the community level, getting information out there. We have lots and lots of great advocates out there that are putting out, getting information and resources to those in need, for those suffering from substance use disorders that are finding themselves, in those situations, so they have some resources to fall back on. Opening up dialogue with, parents and parent groups around the country. This isn't just a, don't do this, don't do that kind of situation. It's like we need to just educate and be aware of all the things that are happening. So when it comes to the Sober Home Task Force, and they're looking at all the work that they're doing, part of that is just educating the field as well. There's no excuse. There's enough information out there now and enough resources that there shouldn't be any questions of what you're doing as far as practices go. If you're following the laws and the regulations, there shouldn't be any issues. So they'll keep the pedal down on that, which is phenomenal. And then, of course, we're seeing sort of the political tide change and see that it's not a negative. There just was a lack of understanding and awareness. Now they're becoming aware and understanding and seeking better knowledge, seeking information, and they're making great decisions based on that. And I think those things slowly start to turn the tide. And as for us in prevention, with Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition, making more people aware, and that's critical. And it's not the most exciting thing to see. It's the long-term stuff. As I like to say, when all the action sort of dies down in the press and, something else takes its place as a big issue, well, that big issue still remains, and that's where all the work really starts to begin. So we're in it for the long haul, and that's going to, as I've said before, it's going to take time to get through this.
That's the value as far as the rally. No, it's really a rally. It's a rally. It's a movement. Let's call it a movement. It's
right.
FedUp rally.org is where you can find information. But it's a basic movement. It's a grassroots type of thing that, good old fashioned from the 60s type thing that we're looking at from the national. People get together, show up early, 5:30, and it's August the 31st, which is a Thursday evening. Who you're going to meet, who you're going to talk to, those types of things. That's how we really get things solved around here is that we meet and we talk with other people. Your thoughts is before we go to break here shortly.
Well, I think you said fed up. Everybody, we can talk and talk and talk and we can educate and educate, but now what do we do? What do we do? And that's where these pieces are coming together. So we're seeing it from the enforcement side. We're seeing it from the legislative side. We're seeing it from the information and grassroots educational side. We have the best in treatment here, and these are the things we need to have all come together and collectively come up with solutions.
And with that, short commercial break, and we'll be right back.
The Family Center for Recovery is the only facility in Florida owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Moran, and he's dedicated his life to helping the people no one else will. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that other centers don't, including teens, expectant mothers, patients with mental health issues, or needing a medical detox. Call 855-202-4220.
We are back, and thank you for joining us on this Sunday afternoon. Those of you who tuned in, this is the Family Center for Recovery show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan. With me today is Micah Robbins, and we're talking about as far as some things that are going on, events locally. The big one's going to be August 31st, which is a Thursday evening, the Fed Up Rally, which is a movement and raising awareness and a chance to get out and show support. Micah, I know we've got a lot of other events, things going on. Please enlighten us as to what's going on out there.
Lots and lots going on. Again, Fed Up Rally, August 31st, 5:30, come on over FAU Campus Life of Purpose facility and go to fedup.org, get all the information. But also we're talking about solutions here and, kind of about being aware and what the coalition is up to. One of the programs that's been ongoing is our pill drop program, and that's been a partnership with the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office, our law enforcement community, and Solid Waste Authority. And geez, I think we're approaching the 30 box mark now across the county, where you can go into your law enforcement, just go to pilldrop.org, and it pulls up a map, and you just click the little pill that's on the map in your area, and that is the site of a safe drop box that you can go and drop off any excess medications. Unfortunately, we have a lot of the opiates are part of end-of-life care, hospice care, those kinds of things. Or you've just been given a massive prescription for pain management, for some sort of injury or surgery, et cetera, and you just don't need these things. Keeping around the house can be unsafe, can be dangerous, and they're accessible. So if you want to get rid of them, you can get rid of them appropriately and safely. You can go to pilldrop.org and take a look at the map and go drop these things off to our friends in law enforcement. And they collect them and destroy them appropriately. And just to give you, for instance, how much we collect, this program started several years ago, but once we started really partnering and collaborating on it, we went from collecting about 500 pounds a year to last year we collected nearly 9,000 pounds. That's a lot of medication.
9,000 pounds.
So take a Flintstones vitamin, okay? Put that in your hand. Think of the weight of that. It doesn't weigh much. So imagine what 9,000 pounds of that looks like. It's if you took a cube, it's about 10 feet long and 8 feet wide and 8 feet high, packed full of pills. That's a lot of medication that's now out of the hands of where it can be misused or cause some real health issues. So anything you can, you want, if you're like, I have a question about Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And please, 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 please don't flush it down the toilet. Please don't do that. That is, or put it in something that goes into our landfill, because those things actually do decompose and can get into our water supply. So that's why we want to dispose of this stuff appropriately. So in this county, it's the biggest program of its kind in the country. And again, that's because great community partners, PBSO, our law enforcement community, and Solid Waste Authority, and of course the coalition working together to make a real solution-focused way to get rid of this stuff.
Excellent. That's excellent advice, and excellent as far as what we could possibly do. The age 50 plus, as far as the retiree elderly community, I know we're kind of talking a little bit before the show as far as that. Your thoughts on the elderly community and things along those lines?
Well, our baby boomers are the fastest growing population here as our population in this country starts to age. And that's the age when a lot of, let's call it, medical tune-ups are happening between surgeries and dealing with long-term chronic pain issues, et cetera, so this is it's a numbers game. You know, you have a much larger population that's dealing with these issues, and they are going to require treatment. And in that treatment regimen are, opiate-based painkillers, et cetera. So we're seeing a larger group start to use a larger group of medications. And just like our younger population or any population, if these things are overprescribed or misused, it's not too difficult to slide into an opiate use disorder with it. That can be a chronic issue. So we have to, again, look at how we educate, how we get the information out there, and make sure we're keeping all levels of our population safe. And this is an issue that literally is a birth-to-death issue. A big chunk of that information and funding coming out of the 21st Century Cures Act, which our governor has fast-tracked, if you will, because of the state of emergency he signed, a lot of those dollars are actually looking at how do we work with our expectant mothers, with infants that are being born with substance use disorders. So we literally, when we say birth to death, it's birth to death. So, you know, prevention, I think traditionally was always looked at as a adolescent childhood type range, but it happens from day one till the last day almost. So.
Expectant mothers, I know that's something that over at Family Center for Recovery, we're one of the few facilities in Southern Florida that have the capabilities of if there's a mother that's expecting and opioid usage and being able to go through detox treatment. I know that we've also had children born right at our facility while the mother was with COVID. Well, it's basically two hearts that are beating, so they're both receiving treatment at the same time. And I know that's something that Dr. Moran and staff over at Family Center hold very dear as far as being able to treat and part of. Your thoughts?
I think it's wonderful that there are facilities that are looking at this, that are treating it, and treating it for the special need that it is. Because you're looking at two lives. You're looking at two lives, and you're really coming up with solutions that will not only, I'll get right at it, you're saving two lives at once. And the opportunity for that child to then have a healthy development, and the mom to be a positive part of that young person's life, that's very powerful. And that's also part of the solution moving forward. We need our families working together. We talk about that. There's a number of programs down here now that have a family focus. And if you look at any individualized care, it doesn't take too long to sort of look at the family dynamic and know that the family can be the biggest part of the solution. For some, well, you know, that we have to look at it case by case, but the more we get families involved, and the importance of that is a big part of this long-term solution too. Like anything else, a lot of things get handled at the family level. So treatment, there's a good chance that having the family involved can be very, very powerful and critical to that.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery Show. Your host, Peter Nathan, with me today, Michael Robbins from the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition. We're talking about as far as family and what family means as far as treatment, and they can be very integral, supportive, and also your thoughts as far as we talk about family and the importance of treatment.
Well, it's not only treatment, but just prevention itself. You know, we have a program around the county that we engage in called our Strengthening Families campaign. And this is a national campaign, but we certainly have really taken it to heart here in Palm Beach County. And that's just the importance of families talking, communicating, sharing a meal together. And, you know, those just that act alone increases those protective factors, you know. Kids feeling comfortable to talk about the issues with their parents, and parents asking good questions. And it doesn't have to be all serious types of questions. Just conversation about what's happening during the day. What are your interests? What's happening? Tell, you know, especially in this day and age, sort of parents have a question about, well, tell me about this latest social media thing. What's the latest, greatest thing happening? Because information gets dispersed so fast. Just being aware and involved in kids' lives, and kids having an understanding of what their parents are going through too. So having those understandings and feeling that value at the family level is a huge piece of prevention. And, you know, it sounds simple, and sometimes the solutions are simple, but taking that time to be intentional to talk to everybody and to share food and just take that time to say, okay, let's put all this stuff, all these things we're dealing with on the side for a second. We're going to sit down. We're going to have a talk. We're going to enjoy this conversation. We're going to eat healthy, may I add. And you can work on a lot of those issues. And, you know, families don't just happen when they're children. You know, children become adults. They have their families. This is an ongoing thing. And, you know, it's not a lost art. It's something that we know instinctively to do, and just take that time to do it. And I think that's a big part of it.
Communication is so important. We talked about that on a previous show with Alexa Lee. She's a guest, and she had, there was a box of cards and had all sorts of questions that somebody could ask, and we could go over as far as like dinner time talk. I mean, some of the questions, I remember one of them was, you know, if you could meet and maybe have lunch with a famous person, who would you choose? Or if there was a politician, somebody that you'd want to talk to, or who's your favorite artist, as far as whether that's art or whether that's music, things along those lines. So that was a really great show as far as the information and that box of questions. So a lot of thought going into something like that. Other thoughts as far as things that are going on, events. There's some other events that are in the works or that we're looking at.
Yes, we have one coming up on the 30th of August, sort of a kickoff, if you will. Our partners at the University of Florida and Palm Beach State College hosting a town hall panel, if you will, looking at the opiate issue and bringing in experts to really kind of take that academic information, what's happening, what does it mean, and making it very accessible to the public. There's going to be a reception at 5:30 and a 6 p.m. start. That is at Palm Beach State College. Information will be coming out, pbcsac.org, and all the other wonderful outlets that we talk about. And that is part of the Health Street program through University of Florida. This is their first venture south. Usually they're doing things up in the Gainesville area, and we're hoping to make that their biggest and brightest event there is. And it's a great opportunity for the community to come get educated and ask questions with some great experts in the field. So it's not a political evening. It's not anything of those type. It's just a great chance to have a better understanding of what we're working with, what we're dealing with, and how we can all work on it together. And again, also a great chance to sort of really pump up the community for the Fed Up rally the next day. So it's a great way to sort of honor and celebrate that Overdose Awareness Day, and that's coming up on the 30th. So we hope people will come out there as well, Palm Beach State College.
Excellent. And awareness, talking with friends, emails, on the phone, just talking over a cup of coffee, Facebook. So what were some of the other ones as far as setting up smoke signals or?
I'm all for, what is it, carrier pigeon? I think that's a great way to do it.
Carrier pigeon, yeah.
Signal flags, yeah, you name it. We can get the word out there.
Yeah, so that's really what it amounts to, is that I think that the more that people are aware and show up and talk amongst and realize that, you know, this affects everybody in some way or fashion, somebody, either a family member or a friend, and our lawmakers and legislators get more tuned in and hear our voice, active change can occur. Your thoughts?
Agreed. It's just that our especially our lawmakers, again, they are coming to the table, they are seeking information, and they want to make the best decisions possible. It's been almost a whirlwind, especially in the last several months of you know, between the governor's announcement and our county commission coming together on this issue, our local commissioners. It's been really incredible. So we can't thank them enough, and we'll continue to do the good work with them.
Excellent. We'll be right back after this short commercial message.
Like the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook to learn more about their mental health service and Addiction Resources Center. Located in Lantana, Florida, the Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers can't. Call anytime, 855-202-4220. We'll be right back.
The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Music is a bridge between the material and spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
We are back. Thank you for joining us on your Sunday afternoon. We appreciate it. Listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. And I'm your host, Peter Nathan. With me today, Michael Robbins. We're going to talk about, let me say this one three times fast, constituency of consequence.
It's a lot of good syllables there, Peter. It's good. And it's important, though. And I think that you know, we talk about, you know, the sort of the political push of any issue, but certainly around substance use and substance use disorders and treatment and recovery and prevention, is that, you know, those that are affected have a voice. And this particular population is big in number. And we talk about a constituency. It's a group of people that come together and can make change. And very consequential. When you're talking tens of thousands of people of voting age that are in recovery and want to see the best for those in recovery and access to quality treatment and care, they can make a decision with a vote. And having our politicians understanding this constituency and knowing what the effect it can have on the greater community, I think, is really important. But that goes two ways. It's for our political field to, again, come to understanding, get educated. And not only that, the constituency itself, those that are citizens and those that are want to reach out and make a difference, again, find the candidates that that are understanding, support them, educate, go mobilize. It doesn't do anything unless you're mobilized and you go out and actually cast that vote. So we have some time. We're sort of in the lull of elections right now. But this isn't a political action statement or anything like that. This is in general, any issue that's out there. We have the power to do this, and it is one of the wonderful things that we have in this country. If we need to make some changes, if we need to share our opinions and our voice and what we feel is important, get out there, mobilize, get educated, and go make your voice heard. Go to the polls and vote on these things. So we're going to be looking at what legislation comes up, and again, looking at candidates and the work they're doing, and supporting those that are supportive of of any issue that is important to a group, but certainly we're looking at substance use and recovery and prevention and how we can keep our community safer and healthier. So that's a great tool to use. And yeah, when I talk about consequential, it's a big group. It's a big group that that really needs to be heard.
The rally, the peaceful rally, as far as on August 31st, is so important. That's where you're going to find and see legislators, of course, Commissioner Melissa McKinley, who's really the leader. She'll be our keynote speaker. To listen to her is very, very, very moving. And also as far as the other legislators, people that'll be there. So that's a very important event to really hear where the focus is, where we're going to be going, and how somebody can get involved. So your thoughts. We're getting ready to wrap up here pretty soon. And Mike, I really appreciate you coming on the show and again, and your insight and as far as to what's going on out there. So, but some of your closing thoughts as we get ready to wrap up here.
Well, we're in the work mode now. We've had a lot of the sort of political will happening now. We've had some media will now. Now we got to get to the work. And part of that work is getting out and getting people educated, getting people motivated, and, again, keeping the information out there and keeping this cause and this issue square in the sights of everyone. It is a major health crisis in this country. So we need people to come out and be supportive, have an understanding, get educated. FedUp coming up on the 31st is one of those wonderful opportunities. It's a great chance to just be with others, to learn, to share. We're going to hear some very powerful stories, certainly from our elected officials, but and no offense to our elected officials, but more importantly from those in recovery and certainly from some family members and parents that have been so deeply affected by this issue and how they're working to find solutions to it as well. It's a great chance just to feel collective support and get together. So FedUp on the 31st, 5:30. I'm totally plugging right now, 5:30 at FAU. But FedUp.org will have the information for the state of Florida. We're going to, our goal, we had Palm Beach County had a wonderful event last year with over 200 people on the waterfront, and we want to multiply that. You know, we can multiply it tenfold this year with the capacity we have for space. So if we can do that, that'd be amazing.
Well, this day and age with social media and the ability to reach out via text, via Facebook, things along those lines, there's just so many ways. And just a good old phone call or somebody in the workplace to talk over lunch or a cup of coffee as far as what's going on. So definitely mark the calendar. This has been a very insightful show that we've had today. And as we get ready to wrap up, what would you like to leave our listeners with as far as maybe one of the major positives that they can look to as they start out their work week and some things for hope for the rest of the day and for the rest of the week till our show next week?
First and foremost, there are solutions and there are answers out there. People are working hard every day to deal with this particular issue, just like we deal with anything that comes down the pike when we're dealing with health issues, etc. This is not something that's being swept under the rug. It's becoming out in the open. And once you get it out in the open, and unfortunately when you do that, you expose some of the ugly stuff, but more importantly, you expose the good stuff. And we're here to work on the good stuff and do that together. So as you're heading out on your work day, or certainly on your Sunday, well, that's actually an important thing to do. On Sunday, look around, look at your family, look at those you love, know that you're there for them, they're there for you, celebrate that moment a little bit, and then just keep looking that no matter what issues you're facing, there is support out there, there are wonderful ways to deal with that out there, and you have a community of support that is there for you as well.
That's the thing that I find so important is that as we talk amongst each other, as we gather, that we realize that we're not alone in this and that there are other people. And giving support to that other person is so empowering, recognizing that we're not alone in this and that we can help each other. With that, we're going to wrap it up here as far as the Family Center for Recovery show. Thanks again, Mike. Greatly appreciate you showing up this week and your insight and perspective.
It's a pleasure, as always. Can't wait to do it again.
Okay. Thank you.
This has been the Family Center for Recovery radio show. To learn more about the center or to send a link of the show, visit FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Join us next Sunday at noon for the Family Center for Recovery show.